Thank you, Scott. Before I begin, I'd like to acknowledge my collaborators, Dr. Charles Rice, Paul White, Gail Wilson, and Tim Todd, for this project. And it is an open secret that the mean global temperatures have been increasing over the past century, and as a result of increasing concentration of greenhouse gases in the atmosphere, including carbon dioxide, and many mitigation, many options have been proposed for mitigating global warming. And carbon sequestration in the soil is one of the most feasible methods at this moment in the short run, while other methods are being developed. And this is because carbon dioxide cycling actually has two cycles, both a short cycle and a long cycle, whereby carbon dioxide can be taken up by plants and then taken up in photosynthesis and returned back to the atmosphere as CO2 in the short cycle. But the long cycle involves CO2 being reduced by plants, some of it taken out as harvestable yield, while a good fraction of it is returned to the soil either as above ground biomass or root debris, root residue, and also root exudates. And this is then acted upon by microbial activity, which may last for months through thousands of years, thereby increasing the retention time of carbon in the soil before being released again as CO2. But this carbon dynamic, it must be noted, is influenced by climate, that's temperature and moisture, and also soils and the soil management, whereby perennials would actually add more biomass to the soil in terms of root than annuals, as explained by the former speaker, because of the longer growing period of perennials relative to the annuals. And also, most plants have abyssicular mycorrhizal fungi colonization, especially perennials such as big blue stem, which we used in this study. And this helps to form soil aggregation and also improve soil structure, whereby some of the soil organic matter is occluded and hence reduce mineralization, which, if the soil is disturbed, can actually expose this soil organic matter back and increase mineralization rate, thereby influencing carbon sequestration in the soil. PE addition has also been shown to influence abyssicular mycorrhizal fungi root colonization, which also influences soil structure, hence impacting soil organic matter. It is for this reason that our research had objectives to investigate how land use change affects soil physical and biological properties, and also how this change in soil physical and biological properties impacts soil carbon sequestration. The experimental site is conducted in the Midwestern USA at the Flint Hills of Kansas, specifically the Kansas Biological Station near Manhattan, Kansas, and the soil is a silty clay loam described as fine, smetic, mesic, aquatic, aquidults. Our experimental design comprised of a split plot with main plots in four replications, organized as a randomized complete block design. We had main plots as restored prairie, planted to big blue stem, Anthropogon geraldi, and then we had no-till planted to grain sorghum, and conventional till planted to grain sorghum. The subplots included PE addition at a rate of 90 kilograms PE per hectare, which has been shown in other studies to reduce percentage abyssicular mycorrhizal fungi root colonization, and these will then influence the sea flow into the soil system. And we also had a control without PE addition. And I wish to note that the restored prairie was burned annually in the spring, and the tillage comprised of four chiseling and spring disc, while the PE application was done between 2004 through 2007. And this project was initiated in 2004, but prior to initiation, the plots were planted to winter wheat, which is a C3 crop, for more than 20 years before the planting of C4 crops as used in this study. The materials and methods continued. Here, we sampled the soils at different depths, 0 to 5, 5 to 15, and 15 to 30, and the roots were sampled at 0 to 7.5 cn depths. And the soil properties that we measured included soil organic carbon, aggregate size distribution, And soil microbial community was assessed using phospholipid acid analysis, and the percentage root fungal colonization was also assessed. And with that, we obtained the following results. And this figure shows the effect of soil management on root biomass. And as you can see here, the restored prairie, which is a perennial system, actually amassed more root biomass through the years, than which was significantly higher than the annual system, the no-till and the conventional till. And like explained by the former speaker, this probably is as a result of the root architecture and the rooting depth seen in the restored prairie with this longer growing period rather than the annual systems where they had the root growing for just a shorter, for a few months during the year. And this figure shows the total organic carbon measured in megagrams per hectare. And it can be seen here that the restored prairie and the no-till, that's the less disturbed systems, actually had significantly higher total organic carbon than the conventional till system, which is a disturbed system. Hence, we can say that the conventional till system, which actually introduced oxygen in the form of tillage, increased carbon oxidation and mineralization, and also bringing together the soil and the residue in close proximity with the microorganisms, hence increasing mineralization. And that influenced the carbon storage. And I want to note that this was contributed more at the 0 to 5 cm depth, because the 5 to 15 cm depth was not significantly different across all the ecosystems. And that's why we had a similar trend between the 0 to 5 relative to this, which was a cumulative depth at 0 to 15. And this figure shows the effect of land use change on soil aggregate size distribution upon initiation of the program, of the project. And it was compared for the project area relative to an undisturbed native prairie, which was less than 1 kilometer away from the project site. And it can be seen that the aggregate greater than 2,000 micron was really significantly lower and even non-existent, almost non-existent, in the project site relative to the undisturbed site, less than 1 kilometer away, while the 53 to 250 micron size was significantly greater in that research area. And this figure compares what had happened over the years from initiation, and we realize that in this graph, in this section of the graph, in 2006, the macro aggregate size greater than 2,000 actually started increasing, even doubling prior to the initiation. And looking, you realize that this same size fraction had almost doubled just 4 years after, which is really significant. And this can tell us, explain why there was a greater accumulation of organic carbon in the restored prairie relative to the conventional till. And this other figure shows the impact of land use change and management on the microbial community structure. And here we can see that the bacterial biomarkers ISO 15-0 and 10-metal-16-0 and also cyclo 19-0 were significantly higher for the conventional till relative to the undisturbed no-till. And this is important because we know that the bacterial biomass is not carbon efficient. We should also note that fungi was greatest in the restored prairie than, that's the perennial system, than the no-till and the conventional till. And it is also important in that fungi is more carbon efficient than bacteria, which may indicate that there will then be more carbon retained in the restored prairie, which is a perennial system, than in the conventional till system. And there was no significant difference in the actinomyces biomass for all the ecosystems. And this figure shows the effect of phosphorus addition on percentage abiscular mycorrhizal fungi root colonization. And you remember that I said we added P at a rate of 90 kilograms per hectare, which has been shown to actually reduce this abyssular mycorrhizal fungi colonization. And in 2006, the restored prairie and the no-till were significantly influenced in that P actually reduced the percentage abyssular mycorrhizal fungi colonization, but it wasn't significant in the conventional till. While in 2008, there was no significant difference in this system. And this is important because it shows that over time, P, unlike N, accumulates in the soil. Hence, with maybe P accumulation, the effect of P might have not been enough. Hence, you have this convergence between the P and the control systems, therefore resulting in this no significance in P addition, while remembering that we actually applied the P between 2004 and 2007, and further down in 2008, there was no P application. And this was a management decision to see what happens if P application is stopped. And this figure shows the relationship between percentage abyssular mycorrhizal fungi root colonization and the sand-free aggregate size distribution and the stability of the aggregate. And there is a significant correlation. Hence, when there is increase in abyssular mycorrhizal fungi root colonization, this may translate into more aggregate size distribution at the 2,000 micron, hence greater soil retention and occluded organic matter and greater organic carbon accumulation in the soil. So therefore, in conclusion, and as a summary, we see that the root biomass was higher for the restored prairie than the cropping systems in all the years from 2007 through 2009, and also that total organic carbon was higher in the no-till and restored prairie relative to the conventional till at the 0 to 5 C depth, but this was influenced more at the 0 to 15 cm depth rather, with more influence at the 0 to 5 cm depth. And that the sand-free macroaggregate size greater than 2,000 was increased in the restored prairie over the years with a concurrent decrease in the microaggregate size distribution, while at the less than 53 micron, there was no significant difference across the ecosystems. And also that percentage abyssular mycorrhizal fungi colonization was colonization was reduced by P for the restored prairie and the no-till in 2006, while this did not have an effect for the conventional till. But in 2008, there was a convergence and there was no significant P effect in all the ecosystems. And also that the sand-free macroaggregate size was significantly correlated with AM fungi colonization. And noting that some of the bacterial biomarkers were higher in the conventional till system than the no-till, while others were similar. And that the fungal biomarker was also greater in the restored prairie than the no-till system. This project was actually funded partly by the Kansas State University and also a grant from the National Science Foundation. And I'd also like to thank my lab members and others who helped me in collecting the soil samples for this project. I thank you. Restored prairie.
Did you measure or do you have data about this relative importance of black carbon for the formation of your different aggregate fraction?
Can you please repeat the question?
Okay, he is asking the effect of since it's burned and there is normally that black layer, whether we measured the effect of this charcoal on aggregate size formation. We did not actually do that because it's very in the prairie, it's very minimal. The fire is so fast and there is not much, the black char is not much. You actually see it as gray. Yeah, because it's just fast and it just sweeps the biomass.
So that means it doesn't go down the soil in large amounts.
No, if it does, it's not really much. And it will take time to accumulate. Yeah. And this study has just been going on. The results I showed was maximum 6 years, even though we collect every year and it's still ongoing. That would be a good one to incorporate and measure and see what's happening.
Thank you. Okay. Any other questions? And I think you're welcome to ask questions to Abed.
If I understood correctly, you hypothesized that phosphorus addition would increase mycorrhizal colonization. Is that correct?
No, phosphorus addition reduces because actually abuscular mycorrhizal fungi colonization helps uptake of soil resources, especially phosphorus. So when you add, the microbes don't have any incentive to go on.
Can you quickly explain what do you mean by step-free macro aggregate?
Okay, because when we do aggregation, is normally looked at the level of clays and silt. So when we do the sand, the separation, we actually correct for sand because the sand content, the fraction of sand content is removed. Because we don't expect the sand fraction to be very important in aggregation. We look more at the silt and the clay size.
Any other questions? Or to the other speakers? Ms. Dalma, I thank you and thank the... Can you join me to thank the speakers?